Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, September the 30th. And welcome to our commentary. You know, I made a couple of mistakes during the week. I said Thursday, September the 30th, I think, in my last show. So my fault for messing up the calendar. But today is September the 30th. And thank you so much for listening. We want to get into a couple of articles. I have a couple of posts that I wrote over at the Thinker that I want to get into in more detail. But I want to begin with President Biden, because honestly, we have to have a conversation in the country about what is happening with President Biden. I'm sure some of you are familiar. If you're not, I'll give you the Reader's Digest version of this incident. But a couple of days ago, President Biden was addressing a bunch of people, including many members of Congress. It was about a piece of legislation that was signed earlier, I guess. I'm not completely familiar with it. I think it was the infrastructure bill. And there were some Republicans who voted for that, no question about it. And there was a piece of legislation, one of the few times if ever, that there has been bipartisan support for anything, because most of the things are going down by party. Even the things that are passing, like the famous Inflation Reduction Act, the other deal that they passed the year before, everything is going down 50-50. And the tie is being broken by the vice president. But that's not, most things are not passing because they just don't have the votes. So there's not a lot of bipartisan activity under the Biden administration. So anyway, the president addressing a group of people, including some members of Congress, and he was thanking them for supporting them. He was, you know, listing some names. By the way, this happens a lot. There's nothing unusual about the president addressing a bunch of members of Congress and saying, thank you, Tom, you know, thank you, John, you know, thank you, Mary, thank you, whatever. That's very typical. Other presidents have done the same thing. It's a pretty typical thing to do. And then he said, thank you, Jackie. And then he kind of said, where's Jackie? Well, this is where the story gets interesting. He was referring to a congresswoman named Jackie. I don't remember her last name right now, who was killed in a car crash about 6 years ago. And apparently she had voted for this. So he was saying, where's Jackie? And it didn't occur to him at any moment while he was speaking that he was calling out a woman who was killed in a tragic car accident 6 weeks ago, 2 weeks, 2 months ago, something like that. And, you know, a lot of people in the room were, to say the least, a bit of a shock about what they had seen. The next day, and this is where the story really gets bizarre. The next day, the press secretary questioned from one of the reporters. And she goes into this stupid explanation of how, well, you know, Jackie was in his mind and he was thinking about Jackie. And this is why he said, where is Jackie? Instead of saying this would have been much better and I think much acceptable to people like me, instead of saying, look, the president made a mistake. He regrets having done so. He made a mistake, and he called the family of the congresspeople and said, I'm sorry. Forgive my senior moment, if you will, and leave it at that. I think most people would have understood him. But the problem, of course, the larger problem with President Biden and why I think we are slowly, drifting to the moment where we have to have a conversation about his state of mind. This is happening much too often. We have seen these videos of the president wandering. We see him answering questions, and then within minutes, the White House has to take out the broom and clean up, because every time he says anything, the White House has to clean up. And this is not normal. Yes, every once in a while, the president is going to make a mistake. That happens. But with this president, it's almost as if every time he's doing a live interview, the potential for mistake is almost 100%. Now, so we have to begin to have a conversation, and I'm sure a lot of people are doing it in private, where, you know, what's going on with President Biden? What is his state of mind? Because the reality is too many of us have seen a family member, either a parent or a grandparent, do this, what we're watching, where he's, you know, he says a lot of things and he will drift off and his mind doesn't seem to be on what's going on. And of course, the problem here is that we're talking about the President of the United States. We're not talking about your grandmother, okay, or your grandfather, who obviously doesn't have the kind of responsibilities that the President of the United States has. So where is all of this going to go? I know a lot of you are probably thinking the 25th Amendment. I'm not sure that's where it's going to go. But we have to have a conversation about what's happening to this president, because this is not a man who looks on top of the job. I'm sorry. He does not look like he's on top of the job. And that is something that we need to have a conversation about, because he is the President of the United States, as I just said. This is not some, you know, somebody who's just, you know, somebody who lives in our neighborhood, or even a grandparent who doesn't have any more responsibilities. This is the President of the United States. Well, I have a post over at the American Thinker today about Mexico, where I talk about what is happening in Mexico. And it's a combination of articles. Part of the post is based on an article that appeared in Mexico claiming that there were some connections between the Mexican military and one of the cartels. Now, that's not the first time we've heard that, but it is a concern, of course, for people in Mexico. And then the second part of the article is based on an article by a guy named John Davidson, and he wrote the article over at The Federalist, and he's talking about the problems with the cartels in Mexico. And if you really think about it, President Biden's border policy has been the greatest thing that ever happened to criminal elements in Mexico. President Biden's policies have created a business channel for most of these, for most elements, whether it's human smuggling or drugs or whatever. It's happening because of our policy on the border. If we had a different policy, or a policy that would discourage people to come to the border, something like we had with President Trump, you know, stay in Mexico, what would happen is less people would want to come. So as a consequence, the people who are moving the human traffickers would not be engaging in this kind of traffic. But right now, we have to look at Mexico. In this article that Mr. Davidson wrote, he's talking about the growth of the cartels and their influence on the government. And the old conversation about a failed state comes into the conversation. Is Mexico a failed state? Now, I know a lot of my friends in Mexico don't like to hear that, but the reality is that Mexico is showing some signs of a country that is failing. And one of the signs of a country that is failing is lawlessness and the inability of the government to crack down on criminal elements. Now, to be completely honest, you can say the same thing about the city of Chicago, the city of Baltimore, Portland, Seattle, Minneapolis, and some of these other cities where we've seen violence, Philadelphia, where we see violence totally out of control. Okay, those are failing cities, no question about it. When citizens cannot go out or they cannot walk the street safely, that's a failure on the part of the city government or whoever in protecting them. Some of that is happening in Mexico. The violence is at high levels. And what has happened under the Biden administration is that the criminal elements have been emboldened by the fact that they can get people in the United States. So they can drive people to the border. They can charge people. And this has created a business that had never existed in Mexico to that degree before. I mean, there have always been people that you could pay to cross the border, but not to the extent that is happening right now, because now they're crossing the border through legal entries. I mean, it used to be they would drive you to some isolated spot on the New Mexico border or Arizona border where there was nobody in sight, so they would get you in that way. Now they're coming in through the normal channels, through the port of entries, which is, of course, increasing the number of people who are coming in and increasing the profits of the people who are trafficking humans. So it's a very sorry situation, and we in the United States could change it fairly quickly. by simply reversing this open border policy that we have and simply saying, no, you cannot come in. You have to stay in Mexico or do something else. That would discourage us that we're seeing on the border. I also want to remind you that I have a post over at the American Thinker that came out Thursday morning, and that was about the mayor of New York City, Mr. Adams, who is failing miserably at his job. And he's failing for two reasons. Number one, because he doesn't seem to have a strong personality. He's afraid of challenging either the city council or going or challenging the governor directly. And now I understand they're all Democrats, but my goodness, if the mayor, if the governor of New York State is not making life easy for the people of New York City, I think the mayor has a responsibility to publicly challenge the governor and say, you got to help me fight this crime. I can't do this by myself. But the governor of New York is unfortunately not much of a governor. And the mayor of New York City, again, doesn't seem to have the backbone to stand up to these traditional Democrat interests, whether it's the governor, whether it's the city council. He just doesn't seem to have the courage to fight for them, which is something he promised in the campaign. Remember, he said he was going to be tough on crime, tough on criminals. And he apparently has not done so since he became the mayor. I mean, look, it's very easy to solve the problem in New York. All you got to do is go to the shelf and pull out the Giuliani playbook and read about what Giuliani did in New York, or talk to anybody who lived in New York under Giuliani. And they will tell you how Giuliani did it. And then Bloomberg, who followed Giuliani, just kept the policies in place, because Giuliani and Bloomberg understood that unless the streets are safe, nothing else matters. If people are afraid to leave their home, if they're afraid to go shopping, they're afraid to go away because somebody's going to steal their purse or, you know, steal their car or whatever, they're not going to go, and that's going to hurt business. And Giuliani understood that. Bloomberg understood that. De Blasio did not understand that. He was a disaster of a mayor. And we thought that Adams understood that far. He hasn't. And the people in New York City are very disappointed. By the way, if you want to hear more about this, check out the podcast that we did with Bill Katz, the editor of Urgent Agenda. It's in my blog or in my Facebook page if you want to check it out. Well, we say goodbye by going back in history to 1927. On this day in 1927, September the 30th, 1927, Babe Ruth hit number 60, and that set the season record that stood until 1961 when Roger Maris broke it, and just a couple of days ago when Aaron Judge hit 61 again. I know that there were a couple of other years where Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa hit over 60 home runs. I mean, Sammy Sosa had, I think, three seasons hitting more than 60 home runs, and McGwire had a couple of seasons. But for some, Major League Baseball does not recognize those numbers because they put a little asterisk next to them because of all of the problems and the stuff that they were injecting and all of that. So those records are not recognized. The ones that are recognized are the ones that are being hit by Roger Maris with 61. Well, I should take it back for a second. I'm not saying that they're not recognized. They may be formally recognized by Major League Baseball, Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, for having hit that many home runs. But the public doesn't accept it, which is as good as not being recognized. Thank you for listening. Everybody have a great weekend. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.